your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Super excited to be joined by the one and only Valda Koryat, Chief Marketing Officer at Trulieve.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, everyone.
Hey, great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
Definitely. So, for everybody who's listening in right now, Trulieve is Florida's first medical cannabis dispensing operation, and they've been on a tear. Valda's, really comes from an incredible background in brand marketing. She was at Colgate, she was at Avon, she was at Heineken, and even the National Mango Board. Very exciting.
Yes.
And now you're the CMO of Trulieve, and you guys are on to, a lot of incredible, territories and verticals and acquisitions. And maybe let's just kind of start the show off and, talk to us a little bit about everything that's going on over there.
Yeah, well, we are super excited. In fact, although I'm here in Tallahassee, Florida, yesterday, in fact, I was actually in Tempe, Arizona, right? So if anyone has seen the news, I don't know, but we are
Everybody's seen it.
We are now the largest and most profitable MSO, right? So multi-state operator. We can't really say national yet due to the federal regulations, but we are extremely proud of having closed the deal in 5 months, which is a record pace. And we're just really looking forward to combining brand portfolios, right? Harvest has some incredible brands as well, with some of the new brands that we've developed in-house and have launched. And just really making sure that, we kind of play bring, amazing brands and quality products to as many people, across these 11 states that we now operate in.
Amazing. So, I think it would be helpful also just to maybe give us a quick snapshot, too, of maybe the, very diverse portfolio that you guys have today.
Yes. Yeah. So, just starting with Trulieve, right? There's always been a strategy of, although we look forward to expansion, making sure that we connect locally. Mm-hmm. So in the state of Florida, we have local brands, as well as, national brands, right? And so if you think of Sunshine Cannabis, or, we launched, really fun with the Bellamy Brothers, Old Hippie Stash, line, right? A flower. I love David Bellamy and his brother. I've met them and spoken to them both. We have a great time. They live here in Florida. But we also have a great partnership with, Slang, out of, Colorado, and of course, Blue River, who had their start in California. So we kind of borrow some of that credibility with our brand partners. But recently, I've been, working very hard, not only on, elevating and building out the Trulieve corporate brand and retail brand, but also product brands. So one of my favorites is called Sweet Talk, with a tagline that says, you want some. And it's that's our that's our approachable edibles line. We also launched last October in Florida, but now it's also available in Massachusetts and soon in other states, the Cultivar Collection. And really leaning into that flower strength. We have, those are really special genetics, usually with a high THC, high terp, or an interesting, combination of terps as well. Mm-hmm. We've got Muse, which is concentrates and vapes. We've got as well Momenta, which is really our wellness brand, right? I like to compare that to your daily multivitamin or supplement, just good for overall health. Mm-hmm. Some people use the topicals, all of that. So in the more traditional sort of medicine forms as well. And then from Harvest now, oh my goodness, they've got, great partnerships as well. You think of Evolab, Right. So they've got Chroma and Alchemy and so forth there. So I can't wait to get my hands on those. And we're looking at really expanding a lot of those brands within the Florida market. Right. So we're really expanding that product portfolio from the brands that we developed in-house, the brands that they developed and launched in-house, as well as our brand partners. And then state by state, we'll also continue with that strategy of resonating with the local market as well.
Absolutely. And I think, obviously you kind of have your hands full right now with this full portfolio. And, you know, you've been at Trulieve now for what?
Coming up on 2 years.
And, as I had said, kind of on the opening, like you've had this incredible career, you know, in brand marketing from, you know, the beverage side, to cosmetics, to even toothpaste. And then I think even way, 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 way back in your early career, it started off at Pfizer. But, you know, coming into the cannabis world, you know, I'm curious from just kind of your viewpoint. You know, I know a lot of people who have been at J&J and Unilever and kind of been CMO of these incredible brands. And then they move over to cannabis and they're like, holy crap. Whoa, there's a lot of things we really need to make sure we stay compliant. A lot of things we need to do differently. How did you kind of, when you first came on board, like how did you navigate that whole space? Because it's so different than if you're just doing, you know, marketing for, let's just say, you know, skincare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would say anyone who's wise, right, that enters a new industry or a new category, the first thing you need to do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on what I would call my listening tour, right? That included visiting dispensaries, that included talking to a lot of folks who really had been either working for Trulieve or had been in the cannabis industry for, you know, many, many years, right? And listen and observe. And what I found was, so I found elements that were familiar from some of the other roles I had, but in combination, not one of the other roles that I had been in, you know, included all of the elements that you'll find in cannabis. So it's an interesting, challenge, I think, as a marketer to really flex, you know, for me, the learning that I'd gotten from, a lot of people like to draw comparisons to the, you know, alcohol or spirits industry because that also has a level of regulation, right? And by state in terms of where you can buy the product. In some states, you can, you know, walk into a grocery store, you know, and in other states, you know, it has to be a very defined, you know, liquor store only type thing, right? People compare it to prohibition. Okay, well, yeah, there's that aspect to it. But then, you know, the testing, for example, that's done on cannabis products, I don't know how many people realize that, but we actually have to send the product to a third-party lab to ensure that it's safe for consumption. So that's actually a lot closer to, you know, maybe some of the challenges that you might face even in the food industry, right, from a consumer safety perspective, as well as, you know, pharmaceutical, right? You know, we don't go through the years of testing that they do, but certainly ensuring that when you put product out and that you've got protocols in place that if someone does have an adverse reaction, that you can recall or pull the product back and, you know, that you've got the mechanisms in place to communicate more broadly with, you know, as many, you know, customers as possible, right?
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, then there's an element, I think, which the National Mango Board you mentioned, right? That one is more of a, you know, it's under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And we really leveraged, you know, SEO, right? Search engine optimization there, as well as PR, right? So I find that PR ends up being an integral part of brand launches, new product launches here, you know, maybe even more than you might think of a classical consumer packaged goods model, right? There, you're really relying a whole lot more on media of various types. You know, then when you kind of round out to, well, what's the normal, you know, toolkit that most marketers use? Well, you might as well throw a lot of those rules out the window, right? So a lot of, you know, brands outside of the cannabis space are able to spend on social in order to really get grow their audience. Ours is purely organic. We're not allowed to, right? Facebook, Instagram, et cetera. So you really, you know, taking elements, you know, for me that of different industries that I've been in and really combining them and leveraging them in unique ways within a very fast moving, fast growing industry. And I think that's also something that's particularly different. I don't think that people realize the explosive growth of our customer base.
Oh my God. Incredible. Like, right? I mean, we know it, right? We see, obviously there's, I think one of the main reasons for that too, obviously I feel like COVID really accelerated so much, you know, one expansion because cannabis was deemed essential in so many states, but also, you know, I feel like the stigma of everything last year just kind of dissipated out of nowhere.
That's right.
It's amazing just to see even 2 years, you know, 2 years ago, things were very different. Obviously things were really starting to, you know, a lot of businesses were expanding. There were acquisitions that were happening. Now here we are kind of a 1 year post kind of core COVID, if you want to call it that. And it's like, it's now discussions in the workplace. You see Amazon now not doing, you know, drug testing. You have all these things that are just like such a massive acceleration. Even grandparents talking about utilizing cannabis for pain and sleep and eating.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, and that it's, and that's what I mean, right? So, in Florida, there's, you know, it's grown now to, you know, upwards over 600,000 registered, right? Patients in the state. You know, every single week, we're adding on average, you know, 3,000 new registered patients, right? And so what you have to do regularly is really, you know, survey, you know, check your assumptions, because, you know, not only, you know, well, who are those new people that are, you know, coming into the fold, right? Mm-hmm. You know, are they the same demographic profile, right? Are by age or psychographic, like, why are they entering? And, you know, one of the things I've seen here, which is really fascinating as well, and makes sense, you know, when the program started in Florida, you weren't allowed to sell smokable flower or edibles, right? So you can imagine that once that was made available in 2019, that brought in, you know, those who really, I think, you know, really love the plant in its raw, in a raw form, right? And didn't necessarily have the stigma, right? They were actually happy, you know, to see that that we'd finally freed the plant, you know, free the flower type thing. And then you fast forward to edibles. Well, oh my gosh, everybody eats and drinks, right? So once you've got edibles out there, well, I think that's an even, you know, lower barrier to entry for people. Because you know what, if you maybe, you know, don't feel that you're a smoker or for whatever reason, you can't smoke, et cetera, maybe it's something, from a health standpoint. You know, there's edibles and there's other options, right? We've got a powder even that you can add, you know, that when we launched it originally, you could add to beverage, you could add to your coffee, right? Yeah. As well. So just really, really fascinating, you know, I think, to keep up with.
Well, yeah, I think one of the, you know, the stats that I keep seeing, which is pretty amazing, is, you know, consumption, you know, driven by mainstream adoption has really, like, the last 2 years has increased so dramatically. Like 2019, I think we were at something like 55 million across the entire country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fast forward to today in 2021, we're at, I think, almost 65 million. So you're talking about, you know, 5 million a year in the last 2 years, which is, I mean, that's a lot, you know, that's a lot of people. And, you know, you have all of these people who are entering the market and of legal age and all the states now that are, you know, fully recreational. It's now like just, hey, I'm going to take an edible to go to sleep, or I'm going to take to hang out with friends, or I'm going to go on a hike, or I have pain. And so there's so many people that are now, it's part of their lifestyle, how they function. And, you know, it's just great to see. And I think we're also kind of on this, you know, new tear as well. Even in the traditional brand world, they're like, hey, How do we start talking to those consumers? Because we know they spend, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's very fun to see. Now, when you kind of think about, you know, yourself in a CMO role, you know, and you guys are expanding and you're going through acquisitions, you know, I kind of have a two-part question, but, you know, what do you kind of see as the biggest challenge, you know, as far as marketing is concerned today? And then what do you also see maybe down the line as your biggest opportunity?
Yeah, I think the biggest, one of the biggest challenges for companies like ours that are expanding is really those choices, right, as a marketer that you have to make. So I mentioned, you know, we have a portfolio of brands and so do the companies that we acquire, for example. And in order to, I would say, make good, right, on the combination of the two that we've brought together, we got to really strategically, right, and with some good analysis and data, make decisions on brand mix, right, product mix, by market. Massachusetts is different, you know, than say Pennsylvania. It's different than Florida. It's different than Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being, you know, and making sure that the choices actually do result in the growth, right, that we project. So, you know, we're going through that process now. We're being very careful with it and not making, you know, broad generalizations that what might work in Florida will work elsewhere. I'm happy to have, I'll call it, you know, more tools in our arsenal, to really be out there, you know, and competing and really, for kind of the hearts and minds of cannabis consumers. There's also, I would say a challenge in terms of protecting, you know, the core of who you are and how you started as a company, right? One of the things that is, I think, also difficult, it's part marketing, but it's just generally when you combine companies, culture, right? And really the purpose that you have. I, you know, we haven't mentioned at all, you know, the social equity side of it, but sure. One of the things that Trulieve is very proud of is, you know, our connection to the community and causes, you know, that really resonate with, you know, people that have stayed loyal to us for a long time. And, you know, we don't want to really just become big cannabis, right? I think that's a risk as well, that you lose touch with really the grassroots and the core and the heart of the cannabis community as we continue to expand access to a broader base of customers.
For sure. You know, I think also from, you know, a marketing perspective, you know, anything that comes to kind of the top of the funnel for you,
mm-hmm.
Let's just say campaigns that you've done in the last couple of years that you've been most proud of, you know, and there's a ton of people really focus on the social equity side.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I thought this might be fun just to kind of, you know, go down memory lane of some really exciting programs that you guys have done before that you're really proud of.
Yeah, you know, certainly the Last Prisoners Project, right? From that standpoint, everyone knows the history of cannabis and the communities that were affected by it, Black and Brown communities. So that's one. More recently, though, you know, and this may be a surprise to some people that a big cannabis company, the largest, mm-hmm. Would hold this position, but we actually support home grow. Right. And so we offered in the state of Massachusetts clones. Right. We had them on our menu.
Wow.
Recently to sell to customers there. And even here in the state of Florida right now, you know, we're supporting, you know, Regulate Florida, who is trying to get that on the ballot as well. So
that's awesome.
Know, yeah. Yeah. It's, really, you know,
cool.
Pretty, mm-hmm.
I have not heard of that before. I mean, you actually are selling like clones that are already like they're small, like, mm-hmm. like seedlings.
Yeah. In Massachusetts, that in Massachusetts, not in Florida, but in Massachusetts, yeah. Written into the regulations that is allowed. Right. So, you know, for us to, you know, do that is, you know, I don't want to say it's unheard of, but it's one of those things where, it probably was a surprise, a pleasant surprise to people who, you know of Trulieve and say, oh yeah, that's one of those big companies, right? Well, you know what? No, when we say we believe in this plant, we believe in the power of cannabis, you know, we are here for the broader big cannabis community. we mean it. And we mean it at a very individual level too. And so, yes, heck yeah, we're happy to have you meet our growers and give growing tips and, whatever the legally allowed amount is for you to grow, we back that. We support it.
That's fantastic. Well, lots of great things happening. And, you know, I'm going to continue to keep my eyes peeled for all of the news across my screen with you guys. So super exciting to see. And Valda, you know, you probably heard the show before, but we always talk a little bit about work in the beginning, and then we end it with some quickfire questions.
Okay, let's do it.
This week, I've been really just kind of moving into a different direction instead of asking questions, just doing this or that to get to know you a little better.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. First question, football or basketball?
Basketball.
Okay. Jogging or hiking?
Hiking.
Blue or red?
Red.
Money or free time?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's a hard one.
Oh my gosh. Free time.
Okay. Iced coffee or hot coffee?
Hot coffee.
Ocean or mountains?
Ocean.
Okay. Soup or sandwich?
Soup.
Dine in or delivery?
Dine in.
Okay. And meat or vegetables?
Oh, gosh, that's another hard one because I just about eat everything.
Yeah, me too.
I'll say vegetables.
Nice. A little healthy there. That's good.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, so great having you on the show, and congrats to everything. And, you know, you're obviously an incredible leader and you're doing such amazing stuff, and, you know, obviously appreciate all the hard work you're doing for our industry as well. And it's been great to finally get you on the show and get to know you a little better.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a fan, you know, of you and your show as well. And, you know, just appreciate you giving me, you know, the opportunity to share a little bit more about TrueLeave and myself as well.
I love it. No, it was great to have you. Thanks again.
All right. Take care.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.